All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
This is fun. I am getting a kick out of this. You know, because the crazy thing about it is, every single, I left behind those scriptures and went ahead on to some others, and he is so rattled on the first scriptures that I went to, he had to go back and go around again to try to goof everybody up on. It's fun. I like this. I love it when he gets rattled. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 again. You know, I went over it one time. He's beat up on it about 3 or 4 times. So bless God, I guess I just can't let a sleeping verse lie. I'm going to have to beat up on it one more time. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and looking at verse number 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified. It is sanctified. Now, I didn't say if it is sanctified by. I said, he misquoted me, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Folks, you don't have to be an English teacher to understand that that is talking about both of them. Both things are required. It is absolutely okay to eat any creature of God you want to. That is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. But I'll tell you what's very interesting. And I just touched on this real briefly earlier. Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. And I might get there a little faster than some of y'all because I don't have a lot of time to burn. But I'm going to read Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15 to you. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now then, if creatures are food, we're in the wrong business. I need to become a veterinarian. I need to get out there and I need to start preaching to them creatures. I need to get out there and I need to preach to the hogs. And I need to preach to the bears. And I need to preach to the raccoons. And I need to preach to all of these things. I don't need to tell you they're unclean. I don't need to tell you I don't need to eat them. I need to get out there and preach to them and get them saved. But if we can eat every creature, quit burying good meat. When grandma dies, let's have a funeral feast. Let me see here. The oldest people in here. Brother Cocker, I know you told me you didn't know how much longer you had to live. Do you mind when you die? Do you mind if we cut you up and just have a remembrance feast for you? I will invite Pat. That way, Pat. Can we just have the vibe? Can we just have the vibe? That's why I'm going to be on. Yeah, we got to practice that, all right? Okay. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. Preach the gospel to every creature. Either the word is right or there are mistakes in the word, one or the other. There ain't no mistakes in the word. Okay? So then, since we know we ain't supposed to eat grandma when she dies, or in this case, grandpa, there has got to be something here that's telling us otherwise. And it says, it doesn't say if, like he misquoted me. It says, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. I said this before, I'll say it again. Give me a ham sandwich. Lord Jesus, thank you for this ham sandwich. Hallelujah, amen. Oh, I got the Spirit. I may have just sanctified it by prayer.
let's go a little bit further here.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to I've got so many notes here from so many messed up things that he came across with. Alright, I want to address something else that he addressed with me. Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. And here again, he had to go over it twice. I don't get it. Romans chapter number 14. Can't we go on something else, Pat? Romans chapter 14. Verse number 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. He decided he's going to throw that book down in my face. Fine. I was in a hurry when I was making the PowerPoints. I might have left one little word off. But now, I copied this right out of his book. So if you want to turn to 10:33, just to make sure I ain't telling a story this time. Food articles allowed or forbidden by the Jewish law. Now, did I get it right this time? Okay. Meat here is the word broma, which means food articles allowed or forbidden by the Jewish law. Okay. I'm sorry, but I'm confused. I'm not in the state of Alabama, I'm in the state of confusion.
Good one, Dad.
I'll pay you later, honey. I'm going to raise your hand. But if thy brother be grieved with your food that is allowed or forbidden by the Jewish law. Now, if you're applying this like that, okay, meat is food allowed, broma, which is food allowed or forbidden by the Jewish law. Okay, pardon me, but I believe it did say forbidden. It didn't say that it was took care of. It didn't say that it was straightened out. It says, if thy brother is grieved with thy stuff, under the Jewish law, if you're going to claim that you eat clean, like I claim that I eat clean, I'm not going to eat anything that is forbidden under the Jewish law. Broma is referring to that. When broma is things that are allowed, things that are forbidden. It's a list. You go into a restaurant, somebody's going to give you an menu. God gave us a menu. The menu says you can eat this, 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 and this. I guarantee you, you go in Captain D's down there on Hillcrest Road and ask them for a hamburger, and they're going to say, I'm sorry, it's not on our menu. Huh? They sell seafood. Now, go to Hardee's. Go to Hardee's up here at the corner of Old Shell and Airport, and you go in there and say, I want a shrimp salad, bless God. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, that's not on our menu. They don't have it. God has a menu. It's called Broma.
10 minutes.
The menu has things that He has for us to eat. It has things that are forbidden. This is not an issue. He's just trying to make it one, just like he misquoted me there in 1 Timothy, saying that I said, if it is. And I never said that. I said, for it is. For it is. I never said that. Now then, he wants to keep dragging Sunday and the Sabbath into it. That's fine. Let's go to Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18. He's making this big deal about the Apostle Paul coming together with the saints on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter number 18, we see in verse number 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, the Apostle Paul should have, if Patrick is right, said, now, y'all, okay, now, you know, I've told you about this, but I also need to correct you. We're meeting on the wrong day of the week. And y'all need to hook up with me on Sunday. And we'll talk about this. There's no record of him ever saying that. In fact, if you will read the book of Acts, you will find that there are over 300 instances mentioned where the Apostle Paul met on the Sabbath. And one instance where he met on the first day of the week. Now, what's interesting about that one little dinky instance where he met on the first day of the week is, if you will look at Acts chapter number 20, it says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Folks, I want to know then, if Pat's so hung up on that, why churches of Christ have Sunday night services. They need to start having Saturday night services and Sunday day services. Because, like he said, he understands that the Bible day begins at sundown. It goes from sundown to sundown. If the churches of Christ meet on the first day of the week, as is his admonition, then they don't have any business meeting on Sunday night. But what I say to you is not that you have to meet on the Sabbath to be saved. That's not what I say to you. What I say to you is, you have to keep the Sabbath in order to keep the Ten Commandments. If it's still a sin to lie, if it's still a sin to kill, if it's still a sin to do all these other things listed in the Ten Commandments, then it's also a sin to break the seventh-day Sabbath. He said here that it was when they came together to break bread. Pat assumes that that is the quote-unquote Lord's Supper. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say when they came together to have communion. It doesn't say when they came together to have the Lord's Supper. It says that when the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Biblically speaking, and I didn't have time to search it out, the breaking of bread is also referred to as just having supper. Having a fellowship meal. We have fellowship meals on Saturday nights. We never have them on Sabbath. Or very occasionally we do. I take that back. But when we do, it's always cold cuts, sandwiches, stuff that we don't have to prepare to break the Sabbath. But we'll cook anything Saturday night and have our little fellowship meals. We will break bread together. On many occasions we've come together and had preaching and broke bread together on Saturday night. The fact is that he says he continued his speech until midnight. He didn't start at midnight. He was there together Saturday night to break bread. And Pat thinks that this makes him this whole big doctrine of meeting on the first day of the week. The Bible tells us that we have to have line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Jesus said, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let a matter be established. You don't have a second witness to have to meet on the first day of the week. It ain't there. Now, what it does say that he tried to point out, tried to claim, was telling him that he had to have church on Sunday, was 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Which says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Okay, no problem. I want to know if the Church of Christ, when they gather all their gatherings on the first day of the week, send them to Jerusalem. I also want to know if anybody goes around and collects. No, they bring in. He says no gatherings when I come. Folks, this was to poor folks. This was an alms offering. This was given to poor people. Turning your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 15. And verse number 26. Romans chapter 15, verse number 26. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia for to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Any Bible scholar in any seminary, can tell you that that was talking about gathering up for the poor folks in Jerusalem. If that was supposed to be gathering offerings, now, do y'all do tithes? Do y'all believe in collecting tithes? Because if you do, we don't think that law is still binding. I was about to say, if you do, you're wrong. Because you're saying that you don't believe any of those laws are still binding. But if you gather up from the saints, then, and you're going to base it on this, you need to be gathering some old clothes, you need to be gathering some shoes, gathering some canned goods, and sending it to the poor folks. And finally, and this is my last opportunity to speak, so he's going to try his best to rip me up and spit me out when he gets back up here. He said that Peter was being corrected. Now, I pointed out to you that the Lord was not teaching them back when he told them to go out and he was put before them, to eat unclean things. And he accepted that, and that's fine. But he said the Lord corrected Peter. That's very interesting. Because in 1 Peter, and this is the guy we're talking about who wrote this, he said, and I looked at this earlier, but as he which hath called you is holy, so ye be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. The only place that's written is in Leviticus 11. In the don't eat me section. That's the only place it's written. So if the guy got corrected, he didn't learn his correction very well. Or he wasn't being corrected. And I stand here and say that he wasn't being corrected. What he was corrected on was calling Gentiles unclean. Calling us unclean. That was what he was being corrected on. And he said out of his own mouth, God has showed me not to call any man common.
What man, but?
And as I said before, man is not spelled P-I-G. And finally, in Isaiah chapter number 66, as I only have 1 minute left, he agrees with his prophecy. He agrees with the book of Isaiah's prophecy. All I can point out and tell you is that it said that he's going to plead with all flesh, with fire and sword, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. If that has come to pass, I've been sleeping under a rock somewhere. He ain't come back yet. And he ain't pled with all flesh, with fire and sword. Jesus came as a lamb. But the next time he's coming as a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes, hallelujah.
He's going to come down and he's going to straighten out things that have been incorrect. He's going to straighten out false teachers. And unfortunately, he says, I'm a false teacher. I've got to say he's a false teacher. Because he is not rightly dividing the word of truth. I won't quit right there. But like I said, he's got the last 20 minutes. So I want all my saints to sit here and be good. Because he's going to do his best to rip me up and chew me up and spit me out. So I want all my saints to be good and be quiet. And just let him do his worst.
because he ain't got a legacy.